service if you would not want to come. So, you know, it was a good crowd last Sunday to see people coming in to support. And I think that is good. A lot more pressure, of course, but good pressure is good. Anything that has got no pressure doesn't produce much. So it's good to see that pressure at all. Okay. And, well, lots of challenges. In chapter 12 now of the book of Exodus, and we are going to take a little bit of time to look honestly at some of the challenges and the problems that were there in the life of, you know, even great servants like Moses. Remember that though they may be, on one hand we see them as good servants, they were still just human beings, and they need to be understood in that light. They need a lot of work, as it were, still. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to understand and appreciate the scriptures as we spend time reading it. Pray for your blessings as we seek to go deeper into your word. Pray for your grace and your wisdom, and ask you to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we take a look at the book of Exodus chapter 18. And in Exodus 18, you see a little bit of what we call a family reunion. And this is important for us to understand. Now, Moses did not marry within Israel. Okay, this is something you need to know. And there will always be problems along the way because of it too. Now, that becomes an obvious situation. Okay? Now, the Midianites was sometimes a source of headache for Israel. Okay? And we see this in other places. But at this stage, they did not constitute a major problem, but still, they were a slightly different ethnic group. They're actually all Middle Eastern. Okay? They had slightly different belief systems. Okay? So you need to understand and appreciate some of those things here. So when he got married, it was a good thing that he married a daughter of a person who was quite good, upright, and righteous, and Jethro, by and large, was quite a good man. I mean, that helped with family values. Okay, that helped a lot, and it's a very, very challenging thing to consider. Okay. Now, however, when Moses felt that God had called him to Egypt, he said, well, let's go. Now, his problem is that his own two sons were not circumcised. Now, if he was a leader, and if people were to ask, how's your wife? Is going to be very hard to explain. It's even harder to explain when, what about your sons? Now, if your sons, your family is house is not in order, and you try to lead, don't be surprised if nobody would be impressed. So God had to insist. The two sons had to be circumcised. Right? Of course, the wife is not happy. And a wife did not go with Moses into Egypt. So all this time that he was in Egypt, the wife was back home. The two sons did not see any of the miracles, did not experience any of these things there. They grew up without your typical Jewish background. Now, this is a real problem. Okay? Now, Moses is out of Egypt. Now, we must understand this. They may not have newspapers in those days, but events like this don't need newspapers. It is huge. It is going to be by word of mouth, and the seas get bigger, the fish gets bigger with every telling. The miracles become more wonderful with every telling. Maybe they were not, the frogs were there, maybe they were cats and dogs thrown in too. You have no idea how people will embellish all those things. The enemies may just diminish it, on the other hand. So you have both, you have both aspects of it all. I think that is going to be an obvious situation. Now, so we read in chapter 18, he heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. This is so huge. I mean, so we must always remember, there was a time when they said we couldn't do it, but we did. You know, we keep on forgetting things like that. It's a huge story. And we forget it, and we should never forget it. And this is how it was. You know, with the passing of time, many things, unfortunately, are forgotten. Well, Jethro heard of it, and he was impressed. Now, I'm sure that he must have told Zipporah, listen, you know, the person who led them is your husband. The person who led them out, it is the father of the two boys. Okay? Now, do the right thing. Now, I think that's going to be a really quite challenging thing to do, because we don't see very much of a communication between Moses and Zipporah. Right? That becomes a real problem again. But the right thing was, I've got to bring you back. You've got to go back to your husband, the children, the boys need to know who their father is. This is they may be Midianite on one part, through the mother's part. But you must also understand, this is your part too. And this is absolutely important to establish. Okay? Now, I've given you a little bit of the thing here. Zipporah, unfortunately, is not Jewish. So I cannot tell you that. Many, many people have tried to figure out what this name means. Some people think it's only a sound. And I'm serious. Some people think it's a whistling sound. When you try to do the etymology of words, it's very difficult, because sometimes it just draw a blank. So Zealand. So the nicest, throwing it in is a little bird. Not in a bad sense of the word, you know, hummingbird, small little bird, you know, beautiful word, you know, but not a bad bird. You know, it's not a scavenger, not a vulture. She may have been a vulture, but it's usually you don't give girls name vulture. Not very nice. So it's just a nice little word. Yeah, so you can understand Zipporah, what it is. And then Gershom, from the word gur, and gur literally means, and I'm a stranger. And then, of course, more and more Jewish, Eliezer. You know, God truly is my help. So that is your Jewish background coming in. You can't change the wife's name, because that's what she was born with. The first one, look, you know, I'm a stranger here. He really felt he was a stranger. And this is not my land. Right? Egypt is not my land. Israel is not my land. We've got no land. I am immediate. I don't feel like a Midianite. So I am stranger. Okay? So Gershom. this word, this phrase, this name is not used today. You seldom, I mean, you must be really hard up of a name to call your son Gershom, unless you are a foreigner coming over here, yeah, Gershom, because you don't feel like you're Singaporean. Well, then that could be it. Okay? So Jethro brought the family back. And so we read 18, 5 and 6. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Then he said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. In other words, they must have communicated in a, you know, hey, caravan, are you going to go to the site? Okay, oh, we can, please. By the way, much of Myanmar is still like that, you know. There are many, many rural areas where you cannot put, there's no local address. Okay, so you want to say, well, yeah, he lives at a brown house by the sea. Yes, that's it, along that road. Not all the rural areas have got road names. They're all known by Kampong district. Okay, so that's basically still very, very much like that. So many years ago, when I was there, so I said, if I want to write to you, how do I write to you? They say, well, you just write down now. And then I give him my village name, and he put my name, must make it very big. They read my name, you know where to find me. That's it. But don't put any money inside, because it's going to disappear. Well, that's how they... This soul is pretty primitive still, although you might think that it's like... There are only two, three major cities. The capital is, all the streets are there. Yangon, all the streets are there. Mandalay, all the... Bagan, a few... Most of the others, you have no idea where they are. So don't be surprised about this. You know, that's how they all roughly... So, where's the district? Mount Sinai. The Sinai place. Sinai Avenue. There is no such thing as, you know, in the north here, Sinai Valley. There is no such thing, it's just Sinai. Where is Sinai? It could be north, south, east, or west. That's why the whole mountain range is called Sinai. I like to call it Horeb. Can or Horeb, same thing. And they all speak roughly that region, rather than specifically, where is Sinai? Till today, well, you know, now it's up at Sinai, they can roughly pinpoint the place today. But in the early days, it wasn't easy. It was just that region, or in that district. So we say Serangoon. Serangoon from here all the way to 6 mile, you know, 4 or 5 mile block. That's Serangoon. Where is Serangoon? Upper Serangoon. Where's the lower Serangoon? There's no lower Serangoon. So why is it called upper? Well, that's how they arrange it. So we say Pekyo, Okyo. What is Pekyo? Is it bridge or is it the fruit, the vegetable? People are still debating. Is it Pekyo as in White Bridge or is it the kyo the people like to eat? People don't know what it is. You know, you know what they call Woodbridge last time? Now we understand, Pang Kyo. We need to say Wooden Bridge. Oh, now then it must be Wooden Bridge. It means this wood bridge. This one is, last time was a wooden bridge around the area. So this one is a white bridge there. This one is all bridges rather than vegetable. Well, these are challenges for us to think about. Okay, so in the early days, those districts are very hard to pinpoint. So wilderness of sin, where is it? Nobody knows because it could be a very, very wide area and it's still it's called a wilderness area. Okay, that's what it is. Okay, so they brought back the family at the, and it's called Mountain of God. Whoa, that's even more, mountain cannot be a small thing, you know, mountain. But that's what it is. The range of the mountain can be huge. It can be miles around. So you better know where Moses, Jethro is coming, you know. Oh yeah, it could be a 1 day's journey backwards. It's not 2 blocks down. Well, this is how range it is. So we have the family and they came over. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down, kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being. And they went into the tents. Now, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ sometimes would say, when you go out there, don't greet anybody. This is what it means. Because you cannot just, hello, I'm so glad to see you, Singapore. I'm okay, you're okay, kind of thing. It doesn't work that way. You must ask politely. And how is mother-in-law? How is father-in-law? Have you eaten yet? Was the journey very hard? You must ask all those things here. Okay, subject number one. Now we go subject number two. And how about you? What was Egypt like? Were the difficulties? Now we talk long time. Now we ask ourselves further. They must greet each other. They must literally. And it is a very long process. Preliminaries can take anything from half an hour to 1 hour or more. That's why the Lord said when He sends them out, don't greet people. He's not being rude, because this is typical greeting in the early days. Okay, so you notice some of these things here. So he went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed down and he kissed him. And they asked each other about their well-being. And then they went to the tent. They haven't even begun. We cannot go to the tent first. You must ask all these polite these things. You look tired. Can I get anything here? Oh no, I'm not tired. You know, I'm okay. It was a long journey. Was the sun too hot? You know, I could have been better prepared to see you. All these niceties must be said, or you are considered very rude. Unfortunately, the old ways have died. So new ways, how are you? Okay, bye, see you. Which is kind of sad, but that's how you want to think about it. Okay, so we understand. So there's a bowing part, there's a kissing part, the asking about this is formal. This is a ritual that must be done. Okay, before we go into anything else. Really, really, really important. So in the one book written is now debunked, the book. It's called Three Cups of Tea. Okay, and the fellow was supposed to be a mountain climber. He turned out to be, he never climbed any mountain, but he set up a big fund and the people thought he did a great job, but he was just scamming and he's been arrested and he's under investigation. He's been charged and you know, that's what it is. But he wrote some interesting customs about this thing, this whole idea about three cups of tea. For the first cup of tea that we drink, we are only friends. The last cup of tea we have taken together, you know, I will die for you. That's how it is. In other words, we've gone so deep, we're like family now. So he takes three cups of tea. And okay, one, two, three. No, it doesn't take like, he can just slowly one cup of tea and ask about this, about that. Okay, now are we ready for the second cup and the third cup? And that three cups of tea can take 2-3 hours. This is like the Japanese tea ceremony. So every country has its own thing here. So many things to catch up on. I heard about this frog thing. Is it true? I heard about the water turning red. Wow, how did you do it? And so forth. And they finally got down together. In the meantime, there is no mention of Zipporah and Moses. No mention of the boys in any way. Unfortunately, it's just the heads, and that's it. Anyway, they got along. At least the father-in-law and Moses got along, even if nothing else. Okay? So in chapter 18 and verse 8, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh, to the Egyptians, for Israel's sake. The hardship that had come upon them on the way, how the Lord had delivered them. Now this is fellowship in the early days. And it's really, really good. Today fellowship is, what's for lunch? Fellowship lunch is really more about lunch than fellowship. Unfortunately, there's no mention what food they eat. They really eat fellowship. So Moses, can I tell you what the Lord has done in Egypt? This is what He has done. Focus, the Lord. Two, what He has done. Okay, three, look at all the things that we have. It's all for Israel's sake. He explains all these things here. This is good, solid fellowship. And it's a real challenge for us to look at improving our fellowship. And if our fellowship is not anything that's there, we don't know how to go beyond this. Okay? Something that we want to think about very, very carefully. So each point becomes significant. What has the Lord done? Whoa, 10 different things. Can I tell you about them? How long would that take? Oh, summarize it me. Say it in 40 words or less. That's not fellowship. That's Instagram. And it wasn't invented then. They took a long time to talk. This is fellowship. Today is Twitter. We've lost the art. We've lost the joy. We've lost the meaning. We've lost the depth. Let's sit down and talk. Okay? This is something that we do. Burmese people still do that. They go in, get a cup of tea. They sit on the stools there. And they sit too long to me. You know, go down 1 hour, they're still there. Small little cups, still drinking tea, talking. Sometimes they sit. Nowadays, they don't do it so much because the roads are too full of cars. Last time, it was very common. In the evening, the sun had gone down. They just walk to the curb, middle of the road, sit down there and talk. Because no light in the house, so street lamp. They sit down there and talk. And that's it. And they talk about all sorts of things. So in the evening, I go from a meeting to there. When I come, but they're still there. They're talking. Now, nobody sits there. You're going to get banged. Then it's very bad and healthy, a lot of fumes and all that. But just a few years ago, it was like that. Today, not possible. And it's very, very challenging. So what the Lord has done for Pharaoh, or to Pharaoh and Egypt, many, many things to share. What about Israel's sake? What is that all about? The hardship along the way, the deliverance from the Lord. Many, many, many things to think about. And I think that we should. Tonight, I really want to explain what we really need to do. You know, we need to keep the family going. Find a little bit of time to develop a family spirit. Take time. Okay? Even if it is, you know, I mean, this is very important. You must take the time. Okay? And this is a word also to the student pastors. Take time. Don't neglect family, no matter what. Okay, there will always be the pressure of time, but take time out for family. You need that. Take time to talk about the Lord. Okay, this is so important. So, you know, you can imagine Zipporah and the two boys listening to the two men talking. They need to know. How else can they feel part of the ministry if they don't know? It's not a waste of time. Family time is never a waste of time. Everybody's so busy with everything else. Take time. This is important. I hope this is a lesson that we want to bring across to each other. You know, but what do we talk about? You see, that's the whole problem. We don't know what to talk about today. You talk to them. Well, some people have, I went to a place for dinner. And so we began to talk. And the man in the house said, "Dinner time, no talking." Suddenly, the chicken didn't taste so good. The soup was flat because it was torturous. You can't even comment on the food. Is it good? You want to say compliments to the auntie? Nope. Don't say a word. Eat, fast, clean, go. That's old family style. And, you know, this is important for us to learn. Look, they have not seen each other for a little while. Tremendous things have occurred along the way. Many things to talk about. And I really, really want to encourage, for those of you who are developing relationships and friendship, please learn this principle. Let's talk about the Lord. Talk about things that matter. Talk about even important things. But take time to fellowship. Make the fellowship meaningful. But you watch the average family, nothing to talk about. How are you? Okay. Nothing to talk about. Nothing to share. What? How can there's nothing to share? Well, Moses shared. right? So there are polite family things. How's uncle? How's auntie? How's grandma? How's grandpa? After all the things are done, that's important. Take time out for a little bit of family. Take time out to share a little bit about what God has done. Initiate it. Learn. Look at what the Lord has done. Take time to explain for Israel's sake. Or is it all that easy? No, it's not. But if we don't cultivate this family life, I can tell you, you have a very weak family. And if you have a weak family, you can never seek to bring that into the richness of the church. You can't. So you must work at it. And we have lost too much along the way already. So I think this is an important lesson for us to pause for a while and ask ourselves, let's take stock. Take time out for family. Okay? We are all so busy. I want to learn about faith. I want to learn about reading God. It's all true. It's all important. But you cannot learn all those things in one night or in 1 week or in 3 months. You can't. Take time out. Otherwise, you won't even know what's happening. This is an important lesson for us. This is important for us. And Jethro was right. I've got to bring Zipporah back. She's my daughter, yes, but she belongs to Moses now. You got to go back. Unfortunately, of course, Zipporah was maybe not all that keen, she's Midianite. You can't share beyond a certain level. Well, of course, we know that she died in the wilderness. But really, there was nothing very much. We don't hear her mentioned at all in name in any way. No reference whatsoever. That tells you a lot, where there is not even a word said, apart from the fact that the only time is, you know, Zipporah very angrily said, "You are a man of blood to me." And she was angry, and she was out of there. That's it. That is all there is to it, unfortunately. Okay? But can you understand this whole, why this is added here? Right? This is important. You can get so absorbed in work, no matter how you look at it. If you don't have a relationship, that's fine. But you do have a relationship. You do have a wife, and you do have children. You got to attend to them, no matter what. Right? This is important for us to understand and appreciate, because this is something that we very often neglect. So the whole idea of family has to be brought in. And it's good for us to take time out. It is not wrong. It is not a sin. It is not a waste of time if you take time out for the family. It's so important. And this goes for everybody. The kids need a bit of time there. Maybe you don't have every evening, but take time out. They will really appreciate that. You know, we all have got valid, you know, I'm too busy, you know, I got work to do, look at my pile of work, you know. We all have got work to do. Who doesn't have? See, this is unusual. We have come to the point where we see work to the point of the ridiculous. We don't even know how to do this. But this is really, really carefully. What a welcome relief it is. I mean, Moses is still a father. Right? These are his two boys. He wants to know, well, what did you do? How's your sling practice? Well, do you know how to speak Hebrew? Well, maybe you don't speak Midianite. We know we are different over here. Your name is called Eliezer. Do you understand? I mean, there's so much to be inducted into, so much to learn. And this is going to be the number one family. This is going to be the first family, Moses' family, right? In today's language, he's going to be the first family. So what are you doing? Take time out. Do the right thing. I think this is absolutely important. Unfortunately, we don't. Most of our life would be work. I come home, don't bother me. you know, I need a bit of time to unwind, and then I'm too tired, and then that's it. And if we ever meet, we clash. You see, this is the danger. We've not developed this. Take time out for family. This is absolutely important. Maybe you can't undo what is in the past, but going forward, for all those of you who are young, make sure we learn from this. Take time out. So Jethro, father-in-law. In-laws are outlaws. No, they're not. They, in-laws can be, you have no idea how important they can be. And this is important. This is meaningful. Okay? So Jethro was most meaningful. Most young people don't take time out. They don't talk. Don't bother me. Straight away, there is no family spirit. You can tell what it is like. It's wrong. Okay? I hope you understand this. This is why those who are coming in, well, we begin with, what's your family life like? Otherwise, it's just going to be one lone worker. Not related. It doesn't work. This is important, a lesson that we must not take for granted. Take the trouble. Take the time. The problems will always be there. The grumbles will always be there. The complaints will always be there. They will never end. But if we don't take time to build this family, you're going to lose the people whom you call flesh and blood. We are meant to be family of Christ, are we not? Mark chapter 3. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Sister? But we are brother, sister. We got to take the time, no matter what. I think this is important for us to understand and appreciate. Unfortunately, we don't develop, oh, he's like that, oh, she's like that. And we find our time used in other ways. You can't justify it. You can't explain it. It's wrong. This is important. Okay? Otherwise, we're going to have, it's going to be really, so people will ask, okay, Moses, where's your family? It doesn't work. Oh, in Midian. What, you're leading us all into the promised land, right? You believe in it, don't you? If you believe in it, where's your family? They're not with you. So how are you leading? You can't. I hope you understand this. So this is right that Zipporah comes back. Maybe they were estranged. Maybe they had difficulties. Maybe they had problems. But make an effort. Try. Maybe they're not great. Maybe they're not most wonderful, but at least possible. Well, that's what we see. Okay, we're not asking for a perfect family. Far from it. Okay, we're not even asking for a great family. But at least some basic regard, respects are there. At least the children are growing up together. At least, I mean, there are some basic things which must be there, honored. But if not even have the basics there, okay, Moses by himself, frankly, he will fail too. For obvious reasons. Right? So if the sons were not circumcised, he would have failed as a leader. Now, if he comes back and leads the people, all people he would be asking is, how's your children? You believe in it, right? Well, what are they doing here? They're not even there. These are important questions. These are things that are important things to really sit down and work on. As I said, you can't do very much today because of your family situation. You talk to your father, he doesn't want to talk to you. You talk to your mother, doesn't want to talk to you. See, that can't be helped today, unfortunately. But going forward, make sure it does not repeat. Same song, you know, second stanza. And many people make the same bad mistake, unfortunately. Make sure that it doesn't. So when you talk to each other, what do you know? Always, what movie you want to see? After that, where we go for dinner? That's it. This is the most boring thing ever. Well, let's talk what the Lord has done. Well, tell me what the Lord has done. Why did God do it? For Israel's sake. Wow, really? Well, what about the hardship along the way? Did some of the frog jump into the soup? Yeah, well, hardship along the way. Yes. Was there hardship? Light, darkness, water. Was there hardship crossing the Red Sea? was their hardship as they organized themselves together? What's their hardship? Of course, come on, let's talk about it. But talk about it. Unfortunately, a lot of times we don't. And this is important. We really, really want to get down to developing it. Otherwise, we're just not going to go anywhere. Make the effort. You really want to serve the Lord. You really want to be there. Make the effort. Take the... Otherwise, you won't be able to. Otherwise, I mean, that's very obvious. Okay, I'm not asking you to be there at every meeting. Children's meeting must be there, young people must be there, young adults must be there, every meeting must be there, AM meeting, morning service, and evening service, late night service. If it's not there, you're there in spirit. Not asking you to do crazy things like that. That would be crazy. I mean, this is important, but we really, really want to get down to what does it make? What does it take to make this family thing work? Okay, so this focus is very important. This gives Moses an opportunity to explain to Jethro, what can I tell you? Well, this would be wonderful. This is important to appreciate. You know, and it's something that we want to look at. One of our church members wrote to me and said she brought a sister down to see one of the doctors working in hospital. And, you know, he was really kind, he was considerate and everything else. And although the members are non-Christian members, non-Christians, they were very, very impacted, very impressed by the kind of attention given by the doctor. Well, that's how it should be. You know, sometimes it's a start, but you start with, let me care for you. You know, you are family, let me care for you. Well, can I introduce you to one of our church people who is a doctor here? Maybe this person can help you. Well, let me do this for you. I think that's important. Right? So these are little things that we can do. I think that would really, really be wonderful. Right? This may be small things, but they are really, really quite important things for us to consider. Okay? So this is the family part of it. There's a fellowship part of it. All right? But a lot of times, we don't know what to talk about. See, that's why the family is not strong. Because we don't know what to talk about. We want to talk about something like that. My son Chris will be coming over on his way to China, to Shanghai. So he will be coming late Thursday night. And he's been in, Friday and then on Saturday. So we say, okay, Saturday, I've got a session meeting. After that, okay, we take time out. Take time out for catch up. We must, no matter how. But tomorrow, Sunday, find the time. Squeeze it the time, somewhere, somehow. Get a work done. He's just coming for a short visit on the way to China. Okay, just drop by for a while. Let's meet up. Even for the weekend. It's okay. Good. I can't hold him. He's not a small boy anymore. But take time. It's important. Let's catch up. Many things to catch up on. Okay. I need to update him on certain things. And so on and so forth. Well, lots and lots of things to consider. Okay, so these are challenges that we want to look at very, very carefully. So Moses shared. I hope you will know. Now let's go on, flip the next page over, and then we read. This is then Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord. He had a wonderful response, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." Wow. You know, you never know whom you can make an impression on. You never know how you can share your faith. You never know whose heart you can touch. You never know you can... This is old-time evangelism. This is Moses. This is Jethro, father-in-law, priest of Midian. Then he says, "Now I bless be the Lord." Bless be the Lord is Jewish phrase. This is how the Jews, blessed be the Lord. That's how it is. Psalm 103 words. And then we read, now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. So this is now Jethro. Was this conversion point? Possibly. Was this a time when he really came to believe in God? Very possibly. Because now he can say, now I know. You see, so Moses did not just very, very broad brush everything. He just explained, wow, this is really, really wonderful stuff. I must tell you. And so Jethro was impacted and he was impressed. And he says, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you. Obviously, it has to be the Lord. Now I know the Lord is greater than all the gods. Right? Now, the Midianites don't worship the God of Israel. They had their own gods. Now he says, wow, now I know. Because the Midianite gods cannot deliver Israel out of Egypt. Nobody could. But the God of Israel could and did. That was really, really impressive. That was full of impact. You see what I'm trying to say? This is where when we share, when we really speak, there is a lot of force, there's a lot of power, there's a lot of impact. Not words. Speaking words don't go very far. This is for real. This is Moses. He is speaking out of his own personal experience. He's speaking out of deep personal theology. This is not just words. This is from a life that is enriched and powerful and obviously anointed. That is what makes it significant. You can only speak at the level from which you have been greatly impacted and of which you are a part. Anything else, just words. And they don't go very far. But this one, Jethro was impacted. Now I know that the Lord is greater. Wow, this is something that, look at all the things he has done for Israel, for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel. You're right, it is for Israel. I mean, this is what, look at the things which are done to be released from bondage, from powerful, Egypt's power reached to Midian and beyond. Egypt's power, Egypt was then the world power at that area. There was no power greater than Egypt at that point of time. But God has delivered. So he was obviously impacted because nothing of this has ever been done before, and it is important that we appreciate this. Now I know that God, the Lord, is greater than all the gods. Okay? For in the very thing in which they behave proudly, he was above them. Wow, this is really, really important. This is very, very significant. So this is like a testimony. This is like a confession of faith. This is like, wow, you know, we never know that what he was like, but now we say, obviously, his focus is about the God of Israel, the God of Moses, a God who has delivered all these things, a God who has done all these things for Israel's sake. I mean, that's very, very obvious. It is absolutely significant testimony, obviously. Okay, any questions you want to raise up on this matter here? Hope you catch a better idea of what it was. See, this is meaningful. So if Moses didn't take time out for this moment, Jethro wouldn't have known. It's only hearsay. Right? This is only hearsay. But this is Moses. And Moses was with Jethro for a good number of years. Right? This was son-in-law. But now we are looking at a situation where this was no longer that son-in-law he had in the house, a shepherd. This was now son-in-law. In a greater sense of the word, this man was God's man. His God is really, really worth considering, believing in, and worshiping. So can you see the impact? So if you don't take time for that family time, you don't have family time, you don't have fellowship time, what is that? Right? So you need to factor this in. So when you see people, this one is not a family-oriented person, if something's wrong. We're not talking, taking time to fellowship. Something's wrong. His signals has got to be ringing in our head. This is something wrong. Obviously. Right? And I hope that you will look at it and look at your own life. We've got to take the time. What? Here we go. It can lead to faith. It can lead to newfound faith. It can lead to renewed faith. It can lead to greater faith. But we've got to take the time. In just few moments of time, you see how Moses made that impact on Jethro. I think this is something that is really, really quite important for us to consider, to work on. Okay? Any questions you want to raise up at all? Yeah, John, go ahead. This is important just so that we can get the right. Okay? Yeah. I'm not asking you to develop cell group, you know. Okay, husband, wife, okay, we big girlfriend, boyfriend, okay, we sell it. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to really think about this. Yeah.
Pastor, yesterday you talked about how sometimes men are a bit weak.
Yeah.
You know, they just, yes, ma'am.
Yes,
yeah. If the sons were indeed circumcised,
yeah,
is there a reason why Moses didn't want them?
No, he didn't want it. The wife didn't want.
Yeah, so why not still say that the children will come with me?
Because right now, the mission, you see, part of it, we were talking about why didn't Moses bring them along? Okay? Right now, at that point of time, the start of the ministry, Moses was not sure about what a lot of things. There were too many things in his head. Seriously. Too many things. He's going to, he's already a lot of misgivings. Right? He's going to lead the people. He doesn't believe in. He's struggling with his own personal beliefs. Will God really help me? Can I really do this? I can't even speak properly. You know, I have got wife problems. I don't need an extra problem or two. At that stage of his life, Moses was not ready to take on a lot of things. Is he really going to take on all these things here? No. Especially when you have Zipporah. Wow, she took on a thing, really angry. He flung the foreskin at his feet and said, wow, this is a fierce lady. And fierce ladies, you always handle with care. This side up. You put fragile there. See, at this point, there's a lot of fragility there. You go in and ask her to come. Why your husband to come? Real problem. You may be a pastor and you preach over here. You go home. You cannot. Why are you preaching to me? Think of my congregation. Okay. Well, where do we collect offering? It's not going to happen. I want to tell you, it's not going to happen. Nobody. That's why what Jesus said is correct. No prophet. A prophet has no honor in his own country. Same. Pastor, no honor in his own family. Unfortunately, they don't know how to respect. Everybody listen to you except, unfortunately. Okay? So was Moses ready to take on? No. His mind not clear about a lot of things. Heart not clear, faith not clear, uncertain of mission and everything else. Now he comes back. Also because rapport with father-in-law, men to men talk a little bit better. Men can talk to each other, talk to wife. Okay, now. I mean, wives can respond in numerous ways. But you can imagine how the sons will be so impacted and so impressed, as it should be. But the point of it all is you got to allow for family time. But in this particular time, Moses made an impact on Jethro. So he can say, now I know. That's what it is. Make the impact. How do you make the impact? With your life. By what you've done, not words. Words themselves don't tell you a thing. By But if we don't cultivate the idea of talking in fellowship, well, let's talk about what did we talk about? And as I said, want to go movie? What do you want to eat? Yeah, same thing, same old, same old. That has already gone south a long time ago. Do something about it. Talk about the Lord, and you'll be surprised. Sometimes there is nothing to talk about. And I don't mean preach. This is my outline. Can I tell you my outline? Okay, now are you ready to listen? Take down notes. It's not going to happen. It really is not going to happen. But if we don't even start to talk about fellowship with the Lord, at least they ended up in worship together. You know, there was a profound respect. Jethro feels, I really must worship God. Can you tell me how to worship God? Can I make an offering? Remember, there was no system then. The Levitical system hasn't come in yet. There was no priestly system yet at this point of time. So this was, can we raise up a place for worship? Yes, you could. You see, but the point is it led to a sense of worship. And this is important. There was such a sense of regard, a sense of respect, a sense of awe and wonder. Wow, this is the God of Israel. He has done all these things. I cannot worship that I don't believe in. I mean, that's very obvious. So this could be a newfound faith we're talking about. And this is very, very significant. And all because take time for family, take time for fellowship. You never know how much of an impact you can make when you do this. I think this is important that we understand and appreciate. So it would be great if we can do this. Okay? There's something that we want to appreciate and really consider. But do that. I mean, I really hope that we will look into this matter so that there is Jethro's worship. Now, let's take a look in the early days. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. Remember, Aaron was there, came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So it was from two people, one family, it was time to gather everybody, and everybody participated. You see, that's how you can tell whether this person is going to be family person type or non-family person type. Whether there will be meaningful fellowship time or not. But you got to work at it. But I'm not a type. Don't use the word type. It's not true. It's whether you want to put yourself into it or not. And if you want to, you will. I think this is important. And if we don't. That's what it means. That's what family is. It's all. That's why it's important to do this. Okay? So take time out. And unfortunately, we don't. We're just so busy with everything. We just don't know how to give the kind of time that we need to give. You know, take time to inquire. And this is so important. Of course, now we've got all kinds of barriers. Language barrier, one. Old age. Even if you want to talk, you've got to shout because the person cannot hear. Hello. Can't hear. You're going to shout. You feel bad. Want to say hello. How to shout at somebody? It's considered very rude. And it's all the opportunities, all the things are already gone, unfortunately. Then we just regret. What we still can hear, and it's good to do this thing here. So I want to encourage you, look at this family time part of it. Look at the fellowship time. Look at the impact possible. And then finally, it will lead into it's a good conclusion. So this family reunion led to something good. Now, I'm not saying that it was something great because we don't hear of Zipporah, we don't hear of the sons, but at least they got reunited back. And Jethro stayed on for a little while more. So it's important. I think he needed to stay there for a little while so that the wife won't go back with him. Can I go back with you? No, stay. It was difficult. It was the father-in-law who initiated the comeback. You know, or was the one who said, well, let me ask you about all these things here. Whether Zipporah was interested, was it impacted, we don't know. But the father-in-law certainly was. Okay? So it's not just you. What? Aaron is there. Aaron is a brother. Right? Come on, brother. Hey, this is my father-in-law. Okay, so Abed. Let me talk. There's some proper regard to father, the father-in-law. And then they sat down and they ate bread. Maybe don't have to be a big meal, but at least they sat down and they ate something and they shared a meal together. But it was in the context of worship, in the context of God. And then all the other leaders as well. Moses is a community leader. If he's going to have a function like that, it would be not very nice if we don't invite all the others. Right? You see, there are certain responsibilities. You are a community, you are a kampung orang tua. You better, hey, listen, it's just right. Invite other people. So all the other heads of the leaders will come over. Oh, so this is father-in-law. Oh, so this is Zipporah the wife. Oh, these are the two sons. How are you, boy? A boy, okay. Yeah, I mean, there would be the usual. Not that the boys would remember, well, this Uncle Aaron, this old Uncle Caleb, Uncle Joshua, Uncle, so many. We don't know how many leaders were there, but they would have it's good to have introduction to the family life. And this is how it should be. You know, in Egypt, in Israel today, the family concept is just as strong. And it is really very, 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 very strong. Okay? And unfortunately, it's just a breaking down of the family units all the time. That's how hard it is. So we really need to spend the time, take time out. This is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. You can't spend every hour together, but take time out whenever you can, if you can, how you can. I think that would be helpful. Okay? So we talk about family, we talk about fellowship, we talk about ending up with worship. The impact is so high, a possibility, so within reach. But if we don't make the time, make the trouble, take the trouble to do all those things here, it's going to be in trouble in time to come. All right, any questions you would like to raise up? Okay? But you're right. The difficulty is, you know, you don't want to feel like doing it, and that's important. Okay, and I struggle with my own self. Let me give you a little something about myself. I struggle with my own relationship with my sisters. Okay, we, you know, don't know how to talk to each other very well. So my elder sister talks to me in dialect, so we speak only in dialect, and it's always challenging. So my sister Amy, who comes to worship with us, she would email me and said, "Big sis is in hospital, and she is in serious trouble because she has kidney failure. And this kidney failure has led to big bloatedness. The legs are swollen twice as large, and the family, the doctor says, you must go for dialysis." Okay? If you don't go for dialysis, you won't make it past 2 years. But dialysis means 3 times a week, 4 hours each time. And so she decided that she doesn't want to go for treatment. She would choose death. So at which point of time, I just felt that I needed to go and speak to her. No matter how. So I spoke to her and I said, "Are you sure what you're doing?" She responded, she said, "Yes. I have a simple, basic faith in the Lord Jesus, and there's no prospect for me growing older, and I don't see, I'm already 74, and I don't want to see myself growing old and dependent and all that. Who's going to bring me to 4 hours? Now I cannot make a commitment, I don't have the time." So she said, "Can you help me to look for a second-hand wheelchair?" So I said, "No need." My first thought was, church got many wheelchairs. My second thought was, no, not the right thing to do. So I said, "You give me a moment, I'll go downstairs, I'll buy you a wheelchair." So I went down there, What's the best wheelchair you can find? Well, got her a wheelchair. And then, you know, she doesn't say thank you. She doesn't say anything. But, you know, that opened up channels. At least she begins to talk. You see, we need to open up those channels somewhere. Sometimes you've got to make the effort. Sometimes not in words, but in practical ways. So I said to her, well, I'll buy you the wheelchair. It's convenient to say. And then what do you do with it after that? Give it away. It's okay. And small things. So my sister said, I'll pay for it. I said, nope. This will be my gift for her. And this is the language that she understands. This is the only way I can communicate with her. In practical things like that. Can I do this for you? She will not say no. She will not even say thank you. She will just, okay, I understand. That's her way of expressing. That I'm not asking for more. As I said, it may not be great, but at least let me do my part. I hope you understand. Take time. Sometimes you just have to take time. Otherwise, you know, we're going to just regret a lot of these things here. Take time. Okay? Well, I understand the prospect of it all, and it's been tough. It really has been tough for her. And it really can be quite challenging. Okay, so sometimes it can be a very tough situation. She was at A&E at Tan Tock Seng for 26 hours, which I thought was just absolutely ridiculous. They couldn't find her a bed for 26 hours. And this is sometimes really, really hard. Okay, and then they ran all kinds of tests on her. You know, leg swollen, or maybe liver. How does that work? Or maybe heart, maybe kidneys. And the problem is this triage, not everyone is trained. Not everyone is skilled. Not everyone is good. And they just couldn't find a room for her. Well, I understand that. No system is perfect. But at least let me do my part. So much as I say, talk about family, take time. Somewhere, somehow, squeeze in the time. Drop by and say, listen, I care in my own way. Maybe I cannot speak words, too many words, but at least I can help in some ways. All right? So what else can I make? What else can I do to make you comfortable? Whatever. You want to go for treatment, I will be happy to help in any way. But if you don't want to, I would respect that too. So I asked my second sister, Amy, what do you think? She says, that's her. She wants to make up her mind this way. We'll just respect that wish. Well, we understand that too. It's a family decision. Can't change it any other way. But make the time. Now, can I also say that in the spiritual family, take time. Take time. This is what it means for us to be part of each other as a church family. Talk about unity. Talk about oneness. Take time. Take time to come and gather together for worship at Shangri-La. Take the time. Take the trouble. We have a little bit more than bread there, but take the trouble. Take the time for worship to say, this is our family, rather than find all sorts of weird ideas and excuses. Take the time. I think that's important. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to somewhere, somehow make time. We pray that you will teach us how to look at his lessons and to learn from them deeply. We pray that we may be able to do the things that we ought to. We pray that you will teach us how to bear witness for you, to pray that we may make an impact somewhere, somehow. We pray that you teach us how to focus on serving you, at the same time attempt these things that we read in the scriptures, and ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Okay, thank you. Good night. See you next week. We can.